You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 103. And my guest with the dream today is Peter. Now, the first part of Peter's dream, as you will hear, is a theme that is common for many people. So there'll be many of you listening today that will relate to the first part of Peter's dream and go, I have that dream, or I had that dream when I was younger, or I know a lot of people that have this dream. So you're really going to enjoy exploring that very deeply as we do. Touching a lot of issues through that. But the second part of Peter's dream is quite different. It's where the first part of his dream leads. It's almost the resolution to this kind of recurring dream theme, as if he suddenly found the solution in the dream that he'd been looking at for a long time. So it is an absolutely stunningly beautiful dream, and we have a very at times deep discussion, at times lighthearted discussion, and bring in a lot of other side topics as well. And it's one that I think a lot of you will enjoy for many reasons, not just for gathering the dream interpretation tips that you normally find when listening to one of our podcasts, but also we talk a lot, springing from the dream, about what it means to go through personal development, what it means to go through or to choose to go along a path of spiritual development, and a lot more besides. So lots and lots to listen to, hear and enjoy. Before we go into the dream, of course, I must do my usual and remind you where to go when you're sitting in front of your computer. If you want to find out more, you can go to my website at www.dream.net.au for all the usual stuff, lots of free resources, how to contact me if you'd like to have a consultation or if you'd like to be a guest on the show. And I've spent some time this week spring cleaning our shop. I hope it looks much better. And it's got some new products in it too. So do go along www.dream.net.au/shop and see what we've got there. And there's also my blog at www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. And of course, there's always Facebook. See you there. And now, without further ado, here's Peter. Welcome to the Dream Show. Peter, how are you this afternoon?
Hello, Jane Theresa. Good. Thank you.
And what have you got for me? What's your dream?
Well, it's one that I had about a week ago, and I've called it climbing. And there seems to be a theme sometimes when I'm, whether I'm driving or whether I'm actually walking. In this case, I was walking. So shall I run through the whole dream with it?
Yes, please. That would be lovely. You can climb Good. Through it too.
Yeah. So the main points are that I was running up a gentle incline initially along a long path, and there was sort of an indistinct end to it, but there I was. It started to narrow down quite a lot to the point where I needed to turn sideways simply to sort of get through it. Shortly after that, I recollect encountering a female in front of me, and I knew that I needed to be patient in order to wait for an opportunity to pass her at a wider section of the path. The path progressively got steeper, and it still kept winding, and then there was a wider section, but I don't recall actually trying to pass that female. We both got down on all fours at one point because it became so steep, we're almost having to use arms and legs to claw our way up this very steep section of the path. I recall that she started puffing a little bit as she was feeling, you know, the amount of exercise required to get along this steep section. We reach a point on the path where there's kind of an indistinct view. I'm just aware they're at quite a high point. And we've pretty much reached a point where we're now standing at the top of the set of steps or stairs. The next part is kind of interesting because it diverges a bit from the simplicity of just climbing this path with this female accompany. I have a small dog in my hands now, just like a pup. And for no accountable reason and for, you know, through no discussion with the female, I hand this pup over to her to hold. I don't recall that she actually took it from me. And then the next thing I recollect is that the little part with the little dog is kind of a meter or two below us now on this bit of a landing, and there's a larger female laying down in sort of the feeding position as a female dog would. And there is one very prominent large nipple that the puppy is suckling on. And that's about where the dream ended.
Oh, that's really interesting, Peter. So at that last bit when the puppy was suckling on the larger female dog, they were behind you, a meter behind you and down a little lower. Is that right?
Directly below us, pretty much directly below us, yeah.
But behind you, below you, not in front of you, below you?
Oh, kind of in front, I guess, yeah, because I remember leaning forward as though this were the absolute end of the path and not sure of any sort of structure that would stop me from stepping through that point, but I was looking over that edge downwards, just slightly in front, I guess.
And the dog was where with respect to that?
Straight down below us, just ever so slightly in front of us.
Oh, I get it. So the dog was slightly in front of you and down about a metre.
1 to 2 meters, yeah. I reckon if I could take that jump, it would have been about my body height. Yeah.
And if you jumped and you'd landed on that same ledge where the mother and baby dog were, where would you have been then? Would you have been on a, was it really isolated, or would that have led to another path?
No, nothing really clear at that point. It seemed to disappear into a point where I guess there was no real view from that point. I would have just found myself looking at the dog and being with that dog and the pup just suckling alongside. And I guess I would have had behind me this structure that I had been standing on, but forward of that, I don't recall anything distinct.
And do you imagine how it might have felt if you'd done that, if you were standing there with the two dogs? Have you any idea what kind of feeling that would have given you if you could have done that?
If I had just remained there, standing, observing and wondering, do you mean?
Well, that first, and then if you'd actually been able to jump onto where the dogs were and shared that space, how would you have felt there?
Well, I suppose the first part of the question, I wouldn't have felt any apprehension or concern. I was just in a fairly nondescript emotional position at that time. I was comfortable. I wasn't puffing. I wasn't feeling the pain of the climb. Mm-hmm. That magically had disappeared. And there was the indistinct and possibly even infinite possibility that just surrounded me of what could be beyond. It was neither foggy nor cloudy. It was just quite indistinct, but I knew that I was at a very elevated position.
Mm.
Yeah. So there was a certain comfort in it, in that feeling.
So if you had then managed to project yourself and jump onto the ledge where the dogs were, do you think those kind of feelings would have continued, or do you think you would have felt differently?
I don't think I would have felt much differently, and it's a difficult one to answer, I suppose. Yeah. For a guy who tends to construct everything fairly completely before he understands it. You know, that's my natural
cognitive understanding. I get that in the dream too, which is probably why I was labouring the point. That's so lovely. I love this dream, Peter, and I'm just going to ask just another couple of questions and then I'm going to go into it. What kind of puppy was it? Was it a particular breed or a particular colour?
Yeah, it's interesting. In previous dreams, I've usually been able to name it almost between male, female, large, small, colours, everything. I don't recollect much of the puppy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just almost as though it were, yes, a pup, and I attempted to hand to the female. That didn't eventuate, and the next thing, the puppy's down suckling. Mm-hmm. The larger dog, though, female dog, I guess sort of a sable colour, which brings about, you know, browns and darker colours and a bit of a lighter belly, as dogs would tend to have around their underbellies. A medium-sized dog, perhaps a Kelpie or something along those lines. I got the feeling that this dog was a very affectionate and I guess a very accommodating and comfortable animal. There was no, what are you doing, suckling on me, to this, which is quite natural that observation was there.
Yes, that's really lovely. You probably didn't hear that, but because we've got a unidirectional microphone here. But as you were discussing, when you came to the word Kelpie, we had a dog barking outside.
I heard that as though you almost did, on cue. I did a couple of times there, yeah.
So that Kelpie mother, you know, you dog that you described as affectionate and accommodating and comfortable, is not really the personality of a normal Kelpie. Isn't a normal Kelpie more yappy and kind of rounding up sheep and stuff?
They're normally intelligent, energetic dogs, and they don't like to be stable for long. No, they will work all day if the master commands, and that's what they tend to be bred for, and that's why they're used in that industry, as you've just described. They're a very energetic dog. So I guess, you know, the description of a Kelpie is not a perfect match for it, but it just had that size and general shape and colouring about it.
No, it's spot on. Just two more questions without thinking too hard, Peter. How old was the puppy?
6 weeks.
6 weeks. And this female that you were, that was ahead of you on the path, any idea about her personality? What was she like? What was the feeling of her?
No, the awkward part of that is that in any previous dream, I've often seen perhaps someone I knew or even my wife, whereas this one, there was no face. There was just a slight to medium build female dressed as though we were both, you know, intending to be out for a good walk. And I never passed her or faced her and never saw facial features. So it's a really difficult one to answer, that one.
And you were, although early in the dream you wanted to pass her, you were actually okay in the end at not passing her.
Yeah. I guess sometimes when I'm on the road or when I'm on a footpath or whatever, I just am a bit mission focused. I just want to get there.
Yeah.
And so if someone is dawdling, I figure out pretty quickly what their next move is going to be, and I'll pass them inside, outside, over top, whatever it takes. So that happens for me in an instant in my normal day-to-day undertakings, whereas in the dream I was very comfortable with the fact that, look, that's okay, you know, she's there and we'll just cruise along up this incline and whatever comes, comes.
I so love this dream. It's so beautiful. As I'm sure you know, a dream reflects the 24 to 48 hours before it, and you had this dream a week ago, Peter. So what we're going to go into will refer to a week and 1 or 2 days prior to that. So it's a time you can probably remember very well. And everybody and every dog and every woman and everything in a dream is an aspect of yourself. So one of the things that really jumps out at me over and over again, repeated in this dream, is the feeling of the unknown in a positive way. It was like, you know, usually I like to know, I like to assess the person in front of me and get by them. But in this dream, it was okay. You know, I got to the end of the path, but it was okay. The dog that's normally intelligent and energetic and kind of focused was quite different. It was in a state of being almost, and that was okay. There was so much that kind of shifted and changed and was okay and comfortable at the end of the dream, and comfortable with not necessarily needing to know what came next. And so that's kind of like the strong repeating theme throughout the dream. So although we're going to go into this in a lot more detail and depth, it's possible that in the day or two prior to your dream, you yourself reached, perhaps quite uncharacteristically, this feeling of, this has something in my life has been really, really tough, really, really hard work for whatever reason that we'll go into. But I've reached this point now where I strangely feel quite different, quite calm, quite accommodating and quite comfortable, even though I don't actually know what's going to happen next. So there's that kind of feeling in there. And also, when you describe the Kelpie, and I agree with you, you know, totally spot on for a Kelpie personality, you know, intelligent, energetic, sort of, I don't remember anymore whether you said focused or motivated, but it was that kind of thing that you said.
Yes, yes.
Is that how you normally are in your day-to-day life?
When I'm not buried in the stuff that tends to bury people, if they allow it to happen, yes. I'm very happy bouncing around. For a man in his mid-50s, I have no qualms at all about thinking as though I'm still in my 30s, about engaging people at a deeper intellectual level and having a really powerful and wonderful conversation about just getting out and about, doing something, walking or whatever it may be, riding a push bike. So that's me quite naturally. I haven't switched that desire to live life off, as I see in some of my peers at work who are in late 40s and through their 50s. And so I guess that is very representative of me, the Kelpie, but perhaps there I was in this very relaxed, accommodating moment, being perhaps closer to the true essence that I am. And when I switch, or not switch off, but when I switch down, wind down a little bit, I can just be very comfortable and observe what's happening in my life at quite a deep emotional level.
That's beautifully, beautifully analysed. That's exactly what happened to your dream. And so it's that point of, you know, as you said, perhaps in earlier years, you might have thought, yes, I'm going to stay intelligent, energetic. I'm not going to do what happens to other people when they get to their mid-40s and mid-50s and kind of switch off and give up and lay down and die. I'm going to keep focus. And it may have been in that determination to stay that focus that you may have overlooked that you can 100% be that, or 101% be that, and have another half of yourself that is also in the moment, relaxed, accommodating, affectionate, not needing to know what comes next as opposed to focused. And so there's almost a sense in the dream as if you suddenly opening up and realizing you can have it all. I can have both of these. I can be intelligent and energetic and focused and motivated. And I can also be stable. And I mentioned that because you used the word stable, and you also described the coat color of the older dog as sable. There's kind of like play on words. I can also be stable and comfortable and accommodating and embrace what's coming up without needing to know what it is, and have both of these in the same moment. It's not either or. And I can also have that feeling of comfort and resting and being suckled to an extent without thinking that I'm giving up on life, without thinking that I'm becoming old and soft in the armchair. You know, that kind of feeling. Leading up to that in the dream, and the woman in the dream, you know, as you said, usually you know who the woman is in the dream, or at least you can see her face. So this is a glimpse of an unknown aspect of yourself, because you don't actually see her face in the dream. There's a sense of her there, or a sense of her being, but it's hard to put a thought on who she actually is. Of course, any complete strange female in a dream, well, not strange female, but stranger female, does represent your female side, you know, your creative, intuitive, your right brain, your yin, so to speak.
Yes.
And so she is there, but in a different form to the ways in which you've seen her in previous dreams. So once again, it's almost as if something happened in the day or two leading up to your dream a week ago, where there was a shift there, more of a tuning into that female side of your being on a bigger level, where you didn't need to know too much about her, and you certainly didn't need to pass her. You didn't need to get in front of her. You didn't need to put the male side, or the more logical or objective part of yourself, in front of her. It was okay just to be around her, for the two of you to be in some kind of unit moving forward. So there's that kind of catching up of the female, or comfortable. I'm getting the word acquiescing, but it wasn't a word that you used there. Accepting, accommodating energy. Yes. Coming up. And then, of course, with the animals, the pups and the mother dog at the end of the dream, whenever you have an animal come up in the dream, it tends to reflect your animal instincts. And so we tend to have dreams about animals when our waking life is forcing us to, is sort of bringing up our instincts, our natural instincts, whether they're good for us or not good for us. So in other words, when we're facing more survival issues, where's my home? Where's my label? What am I doing? Where's my money? Food, shelter, all the normal kind of survival situations. Yes. In our life. Yep. When we're faced with those, we tend to get animals in our dreams to say, yeah, look, these are your natural instincts. This is how you tend to, instinctively, cope with these situations. And what you've got in your dream is that sense of the duality of the dog that you described. There's one part of you that goes intelligent, energetic. These are all the positive things that you really admire and enjoy using, and objectivity. And there's another part of yourself, another instinct coming in there that says yes. And there's this sort of more, affectionate, accommodating, comfort, willing to be nourished and nurtured, just like the little puppy, as well as willing to nourish and nurture, as in the older dog too. So it's really, you know, your survival instinct is more to move perhaps into a state of nourishing others and being nourished, looking for something more to come out of something. But that little dog was the little puppy you felt was 6 weeks old. So, well, what happened in your life now, 7 weeks ago, because the dream was a week ago? Can you remember back 7 weeks, which would have been, this is early April, so that would have been
late
end of February. Yeah.
Nothing really springs to mind around that late February period. It was kind of interesting listening to what you said, just to wind back about a minute or two in what you were saying, that there was this, there was this moment that you created, that recreated for me the feeling of the dream and the feeling of almost precisely how I felt on Friday evening just prior to that dream in phoning. I'm learning a new way of helping sellers meet buyers and sort out houses. So basically it's solution based rather than just sell to an open market. Mm-hmm. And so in that, it requires a lot of the analytical brain working, but it requires a lot of getting to know people, not just their problems, but getting to know people and getting to know why they are feeling the way they are, where we can help them, how I can get a solution that will work for them, not just something that will work for me to help get that house moved across. And so it's been a learning process to become a bit more of that person, to bring in the female and to use that in balance with the analytical mind at the same time. So it had a very interesting and successful afternoon. I finished work at midday on Friday on that day, as I normally do. I spent some time bouncing around town. I was dealing with, firstly, a very creative and progressive real estate agent who does work differently. So I just found him magically, and we got together and had a very constructive and productive chat for an hour, maybe an hour and a half. Then I bounced around and met, interestingly again, a very creative finance guy who is not just a mainstream mortgage broker. And then that afternoon I rang off a couple of people who responded to my ad that I run looking for homes to help people out, and had very successful, direct results from them, but it's just a process of saying, well, this is who I am and this is how I may be able to help you. So you start that journey, which can take 5 minutes on the phone. If they're very motivated, they'll say, here's the key, sort this problem out straight away, we've got to go. Or it could be months and months of getting to know them, getting in with them a little longer and helping them on that journey to freeing them up of that problem, that real estate problem. So all of that happened, and it was all very successful that afternoon. It was so much that came together so synergetically that it quite surprised me. And then that evening I sat down and watched some fairly motivating DVDs, as I like to do from time to time. These were on advanced and very more personal and values and people focused ways of building your own goals, and therefore know who you are, know what your values are, live from those and set your goals based on those. And that was quite motivating to watch that one DVD that evening. Then later that evening at about 8:30 or 9, I had this interesting urge to phone my daughter up in Sydney, and she's about 33, 34 now, and hit an absolute sweet spot. Normally the house is quite chaotic. She has young children, and it wasn't just a conversation that was running in three different directions while she was sorting out something in the background, which can often happen early in the evenings or at certain times through the day. It was just this beautiful conversation, and it just grew to be so deep and connected that the depth of that conversation had no bounds. The candor of the conversation was completely free and open, and the feelings that grew between both of us during that conversation was quite powerful. And so there was this incredible day that just grew, and almost like it enveloped me. And then I slept, and there was this dream through the evening, and woke with that, which I said earlier. There was my dream, Saturday morning, the following day. But that's kind of what happened for me. Yes, I can't answer the question that you put forward earlier, though. What happened?
We will lock it into there. That's absolutely fabulous. You know, it's so every dream does reflect the last 24 to 48 hours, and it's not always easy for people to access the connection so thoroughly and deeply as you have there. And that's so beautiful. And as you described that, there really was a point of transformation in the way that your Friday went that really is captured in your dream. It's like this whole almost life in your dream of the long, hard climb, so hard sometimes that it's on hands and knees, so extremely, excruciatingly difficult, came to an apex. Like you got on top of it. You were on top of the walk. You were at the pinnacle. There was nowhere else to go, which is not always a bad thing. It's like, well, maybe I have arrived, or maybe I've finished this particular path and now I'm looking at the next step, which you beautifully described there in terms of a different way of connecting, particularly in your business, but also, as always happens, rippling through to every other area of your life as well. So you've got that feeling there of moving from the guided path, the objective, cell-orientated goals that you had previous to the kind of entering into the kind of business that you're in now, but suddenly really getting it on Friday that it's all about the nurturing relationship and not necessarily getting the immediate results, but knowing that those results may come the next day, or as you said, they may come in 6 months. And there's that feeling there in the dream, isn't there, of you, it's an indistinct end to the path. But you're feeling quite comfortable about what's ahead. You don't know what it is. It's a mystery, but it doesn't matter what it is, because what seems to matter in the dream is just that I am nurturing you, you are nurturing me. There was that lovely equilibrium between the adult dog and the puppy.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And isn't that always the case that if you go, not just you, Peter, but anybody on in this kind of life goes out and does a lot of giving and nurturing and giving and nurturing and giving and nurturing, it's all very good. But at the end of all that giving and nurturing, you just get absolutely exhausted and burnt out and you're no good to anybody. And if and if the opposite comes and say, give me nurturing, I need all this so much, it's great. And then you reach a point of replenishment. And if you're still just nurture me, there's no give back. So, you know, life always works best when it's in a perfect balance. And you kind of had that perfect balance in the dream, and you had a sense of that perfect balance in the afternoon before. And we know that you did, because not only did the big pennies drop when you watched the DVD, but and you had the good conversation, but when you then in the evening phoned your daughter, there was that manifestation that trickled over into your non-work life. And it's like, well, I have hit this wonderful, magical, sweet point. Because whatever's happening, whatever we solve or resolve, or whenever we find a point of balance in one area of our life, it always trickles through to all the others. So, you know, it's almost like you can pick any area of your life, your work, your personal life, whatever it is. And if you approach that, I guess, in a kind of spiritual kind of way, or a kind of a way of using, whether it's work or personal life or career or whatever, to hone and fine tune and find a point of balance, then that automatically trickles through to everything else. And that's why we have these magical days when everything works, you know.
So, well, it certainly trickled over into the Saturday too, because Saturday became such a magic day. It was so fluid. It was so surprising that I got a great many more calls than I might normally get from my simple classifieds ad. And most of those were very productive, where I met a few of the sellers at their homes, and those discussions went very sweetly without any, or, you know, what's this guy up to? What's different about this? How come he's not mainstream? How come he's not operating out of an office? You know, and there was none of that, which would sometimes get in the way of a good discussion that may enable me to get a little bit deeper into what is it that you really want to achieve out of this, so we can help you move forward. So sometimes the discussions tended to wind up earlier and perhaps were apparently going to go nowhere. So they thought, well, I will just stick with the real estate agent and we'll take our chances there because he's an industry expert and I'm not sure about you. It didn't happen on the Saturday. They were more comfortable with me.
Because you were more comfortable with them.
Yeah.
So it was a two-way relationship. I am comfortable. You are comfortable. I'm feeling nurtured by you. I am nurturing you. And there was no hurry in your feeling of having to get past somebody on your road, having to get the objective male side ahead of the more emotional female side. It's okay. It all happens in a package.
Yeah.
But you say that, and particularly, you know, you started out running and then it became increasingly difficult to begin with. First it was running, which of course is, you know, relative ease. And then it was climbing. And then it was climbing through a narrow space. And then it was having to climb sideways through a narrow space. And then it was on hands and knees.
Yes.
How much of your life has that metaphor applied to, you know, as in number of years?
Probably not for most of my, what I would describe now quite comfortably, mainstream adult life. That was simply work, home, do the stuff around the house, do the family stuff. That's kind of where my headspace was for a long time until I got to about my mid-40s, where I became more aware that there had to be more going on in life than just this stuff. And then you become old, you become grey, and you become even a little bit crotchety about life, and you just wither and die. And I could see that. So I got past that stage, and since around 2006 have been doing more personal development, and since about 2000, early 08, began to do a combination of personal / professional development. So work on self, then followed with work on what are the possibilities and what is the stuff that can help me to achieve these outcomes. And that went through a few possibilities and a few programs and a few take-home packages until I came across this particular package which just resonated with me. So, yes, there's been some very steep and seemingly difficult, cramped, whatever, learning moments in amongst all of that. And there's been this thinking, well, you know, maybe it was easier to just adopt the mold, remain the brick in the wall, thank you, Pink Floyd, and just slide into obscurity in your old age and become a pensioner. But I thought, no, it's not that I don't want that to happen. There's nothing wrong with that. Millions and millions do it, but again, as Pink Floyd would say, there is quiet desperation in that as well. And there's so many, wow, you know, if only I had. So I kept rising to the possibilities. And so there was a lot of struggle involved in that in terms of personal growth and becoming the person that I needed to become to pull past that. And now it's with difficulty and yet, I guess, an aspect of sympathy and understanding that I observe others at work and who they are to me now, but weren't so much to me then.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's kind of the journey that I've undertaken. And yes, so I guess it's reflected nicely in that dream, you know, cruising along and then followed by, well, it's getting a bit squeezy here. And it's getting a bit steep. We're getting a bit puffed. And then, wow, this infinite possibility and this comfort and this ease with which I stand at this point.
And isn't that such a lovely metaphor, you know, that to even simplify that further, to get the best view, you have to climb the mountain, you have to put the work in to get to the top,
of course,
to see that. And of course, what you've also beautifully described there and obviously wonderfully done in your life is that for anybody, no matter where they are in their life, to move, to evolve spiritually or to evolve personally, the way to do that is actually to confront the issues that are tough, is to confront the doubts, the self-doubts, the hesitations, the fears. And it's in getting through those that you then confront the issues that have held you back. And in confronting the issues, you then find that middle point, that balance between them, between extremes that enables you to basically transform and move forward. So the spiritual or the personal journey must be a struggle. That's what it is, until it reaches the point where you find the sense of balance all around. It's not a struggle endlessly for decades, as you've discovered. It's a struggle when you first set out upon it, because the first thing you meet, you're in your comfort zone, and the first thing you meet is the wall around that comfort zone, all the things that, all the places that you have decided that you're not going to go, you know, the wall that keeps you in. And I think there's another Pink Floyd metaphor in there somewhere, but you'll find it before I do. and
it's absolutely guided me. It's such powerful music that just endures. You know, is it little wonder that they sat where they sat, somewhere around the top 10 for about 14 years. Mm. There is something so quietly powerful about where they came from. And they put it together so beautifully with simple lyrics, with comfort and spaces in their music, and people just get it.
Yes, it crossed a lot of demographics, didn't it? And introduced confidently introduced a different style of music, and it's lasted all this time. So there's that feeling there in that when you move out of comfort zone, that you first meet the bigger, strongest walls, and because they're the issues that have really kept you locked in. And once you've crashed through those and crawled on your knees and climbed through them and resolved those, actually the rest is a hell of a lot easier, because you're beyond that wall. And that is the essence of the first weeks, months, years of any spiritual or personal development. And that's what you so beautifully, you know, described there. And this dream does definitely suggest that you are on the other side of that. So then what do you have in your hands? You have a gift that says, where in the past I almost stopped because things were too difficult for me, when in the past I might almost have stopped because I thought, I just can't do this anymore, I've actually come through with a different vision, with a different view, which you summarized already beautifully. The nurturing and being nurtured, the getting in your, to put it in your work context, getting to know people and to know how they tick, what they want, how you can have a relationship, and then maybe that relationship moves forward into a way in which you can help them, and maybe it doesn't. But it's not a straight sales thing. And it's that reaching that comfort with that. Actually, at the end of the day, it's all about relationships, isn't it? It's not about the success at work. It's not about the money you bring home. It's not about the size of your house. It's not about the deals that you do versus the deals that you don't do. It's not about the customers that you win over it versus the customers you don't. It's about the human relations and how you deal with them along the way. And so, you know, therefore, why should it be any surprise that when you do make your work, or whatever it is that you do in work, when you make that work the business of relating genuinely with the other person, not relating in order to sell them something, not relating in order to NLP them onto your side, but relating to them because they are a real person.
Yes.
And when you hit that spot, then... Well, that's, you know, doors open, not only in business, but also, you know, as you said, they're also even with your daughter, everything, you know, the sweet spots just kept on coming. So I still want to go back 6 or 7 weeks to wonder why this little puppy, in the light of all of that, was there a glimpse, was there a glimpse 6 or 7 weeks ago of the beginnings of really going slightly deeper on a nurturing relationship with a potential client? Or something new that you learned around that?
Well, there's nothing specifically that's coming to that. And I know that it's been sitting there quietly in subconscious, and, you know, the wonder of whether it might emerge or not. I don't know. You know, it's often difficult for a person to answer the question initially, what did you do 5 minutes ago? Because we just mindlessly go through life sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, because it could be driving a car. You don't want to consciously decide everything that you do as you drive a car. You want that to be quite dramatic, but tuning to the possibility of something that looks a little different and knowing how to respond to that. Mm. But to look back 6, maybe 7 weeks and think what around that time was I up to is fairly broad, but it may have been just something quite minor, and it was just a trigger.
Mm.
So that's a possibility that sowed the seed that then grew to where we are today. That's possible as well.
So sowed the seed that became the growing puppy that reached the point where it was ready for nurturing? Because in the dream, it's like, oh, what am I going to do with this puppy then? Got to give it to someone. Mm. And as you gave it to the woman, it actually, the dream then translated that into giving it to the Kelpie mother to nurture her. So there was this feeling of something that I've been carrying that was a seed that began, and you don't have to get it now and then, I'm just describing it, that needed nurturing, and you almost reached the point of, this is how it's done. This is where I hand it over. This is where the nurturing begins. This is where I put it down, this thing that I've been carrying. And it may also have been just looking for, it may even have been your hardest point, you know, that the darkest hour before the dawn may have been 6 or 7 weeks ago. And it's like, because that's when, you know how I said that we often dream of animals when our survival instincts come into play. So there may even have been a darkest hour before the dawn, you know, the point in the path where you're crawling sideways through through sulfur air or something. and it triggers this beginning of the instinct, the survival instinct of the puppy, of get nurtured, relate, be comfortable, whatever it is. And then you've been carrying that for 6 or 7 weeks. And then on that Friday, it was suddenly like it naturally found its place and everything opened up. Yeah. But as you say, you don't need to go back and find it. We can just celebrate the fact that it's there. And if you've got the magic formula, and if times do seem to get tough again, or if you do, you know, then think, oh, where are we going? I thought I had it, and things seem to have, you know, taken a downhill slide. What you can do is tune back into the feeling of the dream where you really got it. You really got this feeling of the nurturing and the nurtured. You got the feeling of not the male side of yourself not having to push inside in front of the female. You got the feeling of it doesn't matter that there seems to be an indistinct end to the path. Actually, this is good because it means I've got the view now. I've got it. It doesn't matter that I don't know where I'm going because the mystery is okay. It doesn't matter that I don't have a huge goal in front of me because I am doing the relationship thing. All of these things. And you said earlier something about when you watched that DVD on Friday afternoon that there was a thing that hit you about goals based on values. And of course, you know, you were aware of that because that's why you brought it into the conversation. But that's really there in the dream too. The goal, instead of in the dream being, I've got to get up this mountain, the goal was suddenly the value of the nurturing and the nurtured, being comfortable about that space.
So it's very interesting watching that DVD to bring that to light. It resonated so beautifully with me, and the individual presenting it is a very authentic, down to earth, you know, and he's the guy that doesn't care whether it's spelled right or not. You just get what he's saying because it's coming from him. It's not coming from a script that took him forever to write. It's just him. So it's the beauty of that. And, you know, the essence was there. It didn't matter what he said. You just got it anyway because of who he was on and his presence. And it wasn't sales. It was just, here's what's worked for me. And Jesus, it took me 25 years to get this right. And we lived pretty average until I finally got this. So, you know, this may help as well. You know, give it a run, see what you think, guys. But this is what's worked for us, you know. That was beautiful. Something that came up and has continued to come up during our conversation for probably the last half of the conversation is this interesting state of comfortable acceptance of tension related to personal growth or spiritual growth that I sit okay with now, whereas previously you would look beyond that wall that we quite abnormally, and I say that, and though it's possibly a natural phenomenon that we surround ourselves with this wall of fear to protect ourselves, but with this abnormal wall of fear, we look beyond that and we go, whoa, what are we doing, you know, and everything from the subconscious is ripping us back down. So I'm no longer concerned about being at that point where there's this state of tension related to growth. It's not an expectation. It's not a comfortable position. It has its moments where it's, well, feeling this, but keep moving because it resonates. It feels right. And that's the very nature of growth. You can't possibly have become a normal or a subnormal adult human being unless you just pushed on as an 18-month-old and then a 2-year-old and then a 3-year-old and then a 4-year-old. So if you didn't give up then, certainly why would you give up now? You're just a lot older and a bit grayer if that's where you are in life. That's the only distinction. So it was almost like recollecting what it was like, where you might feel that you'd heard way too many no's and not enough yeses and hadn't had enough pats on the back and got a lot of smacks, but you kept going forward and growing anyway against what seemed to be a bit of a growing negative world. And so now with, I guess, the benefit of a broader perspective, it's a comfortable position to find myself in this state of growth tension that I'm not concerned by anymore.
It's wonderful. That is so beautifully described. It's no longer trying to get somewhere and it's all about the place that you're trying to get. It's about being okay, as you say, with the tension, because it's the life that you're living from second to second.
Yeah.
And it's that being, it's that nurturing, it's that authenticity, whether it's the your mentor or whether it's how you're mentoring other people or getting to know them. And it's interesting that you say that. I was watching my new little granddaughter the other day, and she's 10 weeks old now, 11 weeks old. And she was getting very, very frustrated because what she was actually trying to do was find her thumb. You know how babies try to get this point where they try to suck their thumb? And she did it. She finally found it. And having found it, she instantly took her hand out of her mouth, put it back in, took it out, put it back in three times as if to go, I'm practicing this, I've got it now. And the look on her face was, of course, absolute bliss. Now, her mother, my daughter, then looked back and said, she has been very frustrated for about 3 weeks trying to get that thumb in her mouth, getting right grumpy and irritable. And I said to her, we were laughing, isn't that just life? You know, is that frustration at any moment of life that drives us to the next stage, whether, as you kind of alluded to there as well, Peter, the frustration that gets the baby to crawl, the frustration that gets the baby to stand up to walk, that we can see so clearly looking at little babies, but we forget to apply it to ourselves and our own lives. You get that well of energy come up. And rather than stand in a corner and bawl and scream about feeling so frustrated or life not working or whatever, it's actually the energy that you're supposed to use, not in any negative way, but it's like this huge amount of energy in your engine getting up ready to propel you through that wall and onto the next stage. And therefore, that feeling of being comfortable with that tension, because that tension is the energy that gets you to the next stage. But what I really love about your dream, and for everybody listening in, is there's sort of two big things, you know, as well as all the other big things that you have got out of this and I have been talking about too. One is that as you move forward in your own life, if you do occasionally then think, oh, suddenly I've got a tough, or I'm okay with the tension, but here we go again, here's a steep climb, whatever, you've got that shortcut route to the memory of the feeling at the end of your dream of looking at the mother and the puppies. And you can even accentuate that by putting yourself in that space with them and actually getting more closely. Whereas in the dream, you were looking quite objectively, you can actually visualize, and this would be the dream alchemy practice that you can return to if you need it. You would visualize as if you were back in the dream, but actually doing that jump that you mentioned at the end. It was just like 1 or 2 meters to jump and landing and just sitting with them and just soaking up the energy of both of them. So that's really, at any time you need a reminder for your unconscious mind as well as your conscious of, yes, this is where it's at. That's what it's all about. This is the way to go forward. Even though sometimes it may feel wrong, people around me may say, you're taking the wrong approach, things may not appear to be working, this is actually how it's done. So you can actually bring up that visualization at any time you require it from now in the future as a reinforcement. And then also for anyone listening in who has experienced the kind of dream that you had, Peter, prior to getting to the top. So I'll just go over that again. If you're listening in and you've had any kind of dream where you're climbing a vertical path, like 90 degrees, you know, or you're on hands and knees, or you're sinking into the ground, or your legs are really heavy, you know, any dream where the progress should be easy and it is just not, it is incredibly difficult, will often reflect that is what you are feeling in life now, and what is usually making your journey particularly tough and difficult is, it can be a number of things, but often comes down to your fear, your self-doubt, your hesitation. And that's what makes the journey tough. You know, we resist our own movement forward by going, oh, like that, I'm frightened of that, or I doubt myself there, or I hesitate because maybe that's not where I want to go. And then that's reflected in our dreams as this, you know, incredibly difficult, laboring progress to get anywhere. And as you've, you know, now described beautifully, Peter, you're comfortable with that tension. And simply because you're comfortable with that tension, you won't have to grovel and crawl and climb, because you will just go there ever so easily. But for anybody listening in that is having recurring dreams of that first part, like Peter's, where the journey is just so tough, the medicine for this is incredibly simple and awesomely effective. And it is that you do a dream alchemy visualization. You wake up from the dream, you close your eyes, stay awake, but close your eyes and visualize yourself back in the dream. Only this time, make the path really easy. If the path is vertical, that's fine, but make yourself just walk up it so easily as if your feet are on wings. Run along, dance, just completely change the nature of how you get along that path in your visualization. And what this does is it actually retrains any unconscious beliefs that you've got around fear, hesitation, self-doubt, or whatever it is that's holding you back. Just changing the vision reprograms the unconscious beliefs, and you quite magically find, if you repeat this visualization for a couple of weeks, maybe 20 times a day for a couple of weeks, you quite magically find yourself in waking life suddenly doing things differently, or as you did, Peter, you know, simple things like phoning your daughter and hitting the sweet spot. Is that life just turns out so much easier. And,
yes.
And it's without making any conscious change other than the conscious reminder to do your dream alchemy visualization. It's all done from the unconscious mind. It's done from changing the unconscious beliefs so that instead of the path becoming tough, it becomes easy. Or in your case, Peter, you become comfortable with the tension, and the moment that you do, it becomes easy because you're not resisting it anymore.
Yeah.
So I really thank you for sharing your dream, because it's not only a beautiful one for us all to listen into and be part of, but because the first part of your dream is a quite a common recurring theme that plagues a lot of people for many years. I think that by sharing your dream, you'll have given people a lot of thought on many different levels, and also with the alchemy that goes with that, an understanding and a formula for actually totally letting all that go and making the kind of progress that you now feel is sitting there for you.
Yeah.
Did you have any other questions before we leave your dream?
No, that's been a very pretty powerful discourse that we've engaged in, and I really appreciate that. Thank you, Jane Teresa.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show, Peter. And for those of you that, like me, were trying to work out what the Pink Floyd song was about the wall, I still can't remember the title, but it's about being another brick in the wall. Isn't it about no education, or it's about the education system or something? Anyway, Peter did talk during our discussion about not wanting to be just another brick. So kind of we worked all our metaphors together there. And I'm sure for some of you now, I have now given you a music worm for the rest of the day. What do you call it? An EO worm squiggling into your brain, singing Pink Floyd. I did have a chat with Peter afterwards and said that, as I say to everyone that comes on the show, you know, the thing about coming on the show is being totally confidential, but some people during the course of the discussion do touch upon their business or a project that they're on. And when that happens, I always ask them afterwards, if you would like me to mention your business so that people can contact you to find out more, I can do that. You absolutely do not have to do that. The point is to be confidential. But if you would like that, I can do that for you. And Peter said that would be very, very nice. So it's not a website address, but the name of his business is Quick Property Solutions. And he's given his mobile phone number. So it's an Australia-wide thing. I guess you can call him from wherever you are in the world, considering our podcast goes out to more than 30 countries. And I don't know whether it's just about Australia, but hey, this is an Australian mobile phone number. And I'll put it on the blog as well. But for those of you listening and have got a pen and would like to talk to Peter, his mobile phone number is Australia 0427224948. That's 0427224948. Thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be on the show, please email me. I just love meeting all of you all around the world and chatting about your dreams. And I'll speak to you next week for another episode of The Dream Show. Have a wonderful week. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.